Our first public hearing is subdivision 2018-8, Streams Edge Estates, TBD LLC, care of Michael Daniels.
This is a cluster subdivision to divide 20.42 acres into 42 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River Hundred, Sussex County. The property is on the east side of Robinsonville Road, approximately 264 feet southeast of Kendall Road. The tax parcels are District 233, Map 6, Parcel 90, and Parcel 90.01. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. Staff would note for the record, staff did receive a subdivision plan and an exhibit booklet. It also went through our technical advisory committee, and we received comments from the Sussex Conservation District, the USD, the NRCS, which is the Natural Resource Conservation Group. We received comments from the following divisions of DENREC, Fish and Wildlife, Waste and Hazardous Substances, Air Quality, and Groundwater Discharge. We also received comments from the Public Works Department and the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Received comments from DelDOT, the Fire Marshal, Delaware Electric Co-op, the Division of Water and for Public Health, and the Department of Agriculture. Thank you.
All right, we thank you. Mr. Willard.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. My name is Tim Willard with Fuquay Willard, Stevens and Shaw. We have offices here in Georgetown, Lewis, and in Rehoboth. I represent Streams Edge. I'm going to introduce the principal back here, Michael Daniels. He's a principal that has the property under contract. It's currently owned by Rhodes Vessels, and I think Mr. Vessels is also here in the chambers tonight. You all know Ken Christianberry, the engineer, and I also have Brian Lyncha. I've had trouble with that. He's with Duffield, and he's had involvement with DENREC in the property, so he's available for testimony if necessary. I think we have some exhibits. I'm going to give this to Mr. Christianberry because I usually mess that up. Yeah, I don't know if you'd sit down, but okay, I'll pretend you're not here. It's difficult for you. There's an exhibit book that's already been referenced, was submitted containing a summary of the proposed subdivision and supporting documents, including 26 exhibits, which are part of the record. These exhibits include the 99-9C considerations and responses to TAC and planning staff comments. This is just a summary of the application. This is an application for an AR1 cluster subdivision to be called Streams Edge. The property is an environmentally sensitive development district. The development will be comprised of 42 single-family lots on 21.3 acres. I will occasionally reference tabs. There are quite a few tabs there. I think they're 26. And I may reference them if commission members want to go to that when I'm talking about it. Okay. The site plan, I think it's tab G. There's 40% or 8.5 acres will be open space. The subdivision will be served by county sewer as well as Tidewater water services. The property, I don't know if we have a slide of the surrounding area. The property is located on Robinsonville Road, southeast of Kendall Road. You can see on tab P, there is a Delaware Electric Co-op power station right to the north, adjacent, just directly north. And then Tidewater Landing, a residential subdivision, is to the south and the east. A branch of Love Creek on Tidewater property runs along the eastern border, actually on the Tidewater property. Thank you, Ken. And that's really how the name came up, Stream Edge. It's just a branch of Tidewater, of Love Creek when it comes up there around. The area has a mix of residential and agricultural use. You can see by the tax map some of the other neighborhoods around there. Let me give you a little zoning history, and some of you have been around here long enough to know maybe some of the zoning history of Tidewater and what's been going on down there. The property is owned by Vessel Company. Part of the property was used to process lumber. This use ceased in approximately 1975. And that will come up a little bit later because we'll tell you why we're reserving 1.25 acres that's going to be in remediation. And Duffield's worked with DENREC on that project. So some of the zoning application approval history. In 2009, the Planning Commission heard a subdivision application, which was approved. That application included what's now the Tidewater property, if we can go back to the larger view.
You want to go to the
just
Tidewater
a
plan or just
the tax map? In short, it included all what's now the Tidewater property or subdivision, which was recently approved for final. It also included what I'm going to call our property, the Stream's Edge property. In 2009, the applicant at the time asked for MR townhouses in that property. The commission came back, Mr. Wheatley, you were probably here then, it came back and it approved the subdivision for Vesco for the I think it was 190 lots, approximately 200 lots in the back, and they said the MR wasn't appropriate for that, our property today, at that time in 2009. At that time, and I have the minutes, they said, but we would, I don't think they used the encourage word in the minutes, but we would expedite an application if you want to expand the subdivision for residential into that 21 acres, which is now what we're asking for tonight for residential single family. They didn't necessarily take advantage of the offer for expedition, maybe because it was 2009. But in 2013, within the 5 years, they came back. This was not my client, it was Vesco again, and got approval for lots in that subdivision. As time progressed, the CMF Tidewater took over the project. They got preliminary, and they also got final in 2016. And then after they got final, when they purchased the property, they decided not to develop the 21 acres that was our property today. And one of the reasons was that was there was an environmental issue that they wanted to deal with, or they had to deal with, and they decided not to. So Mr. Vessels, I don't know if we have a survey of the property, he subdivided the property and cut it out, and that's into two parcels. There it is. So while that's up, I think it's appropriate to talk about the environmental issue. You see the track 1B there, and there's 1A. That area right there was originally where the lumber operation was, and it was a lumber treatment process. So what they would do is they would bring lumber there and treat it for preserve it, and it caused some chemical runoff and things like that. And Denrec has been involved with the project since 1990. It's interesting to note that in 2009, when the subdivision was approved, the record reflects that all remediation for the property had been complete. Subsequent to that, later in 2012, because Denrec was doing some more, they do like an inventory when they have a project that's on their books, they go back and look at it, and they wanted to look at it, and they expanded the area there that's approximately 6 acres and said that they should have a remediation project on that. You will see, and I don't want to bury you with this, some tabs in your book, because I wanted you to be fully informed. It's M, N, and O, which talk about the restrictive covenants, and the COCR, which is Certificate of Corrective Remedy, which was completed, and then a final letter from Denrec saying that this property can be available for residential if a remediation project is completed. We've done the study on that, and that's why Brian's here, actually. And the remediation project will simply require capping approximately an acre of that parcel. And when you get to our site plan, you'll see how we reserve that as open space. On that subject, because it's obviously some concern, and Derek and Duffield and the applicant has all worked on this, is we've included a condition that if this preliminary site plan is approved, it will not be improved unless the COCR has been finalized. The COCR basically is Denrec saying, that's fine, that's what we asked you to do. And that gives everybody the security that it's done and the project is not too ambitious. So we've also submitted, I sent a letter to Mr. Robertson, which is for all our HRA documents, which is required for a subdivision, and included the condition in there that remediation and the COCR would be complete before any final could be submitted. I think if we can go to the site plan itself now. Let's do this for a second. We've already spoken, it's 42 lots, so it's under two lots per acre, 1.96, I think it is. Each lot will be a minimum of 7,500 square feet. There's 40% of open space. There'll be a 20-foot forested buffer around the entire property. And I'm going to turn this over to Ken in a second. He can talk a little bit more about the, there's really virtually no wetlands on the property except the back left corner where there's going to be no residential residences built. There will be the stormwater management pond, and that'll be surrounded by open space. Since it's a relatively small community with three cul-de-sacs, we've included a gazebo and picnic area along the pond area, and the residents will have access around the entire stormwater. Ken, maybe you can show where the sidewalks are on it and describe some of the other features of getting around in that neighborhood.
So we have met with DelDOT on several occasions, and they have requested, or not really requested, required a 10-foot shared use path to run parallel to Robinsonville Road for the entire frontage of the property. And of course, it will connect to the shared use path that's being constructed by Tidewater Landing immediately next door. We have three locations, the project entrance, this cul-de-sac here, and this cul-de-sac here, where the interior sidewalks of the project would connect to that that frontage trail. And the sidewalk does continue throughout the entire project on one side of the road. And then at the end and in the middle of it, that sidewalk ties into an unpaved walking trail, a mulch walking trail around the stormwater pond in the middle of the project to provide essentially a circuit of walkability for this community.
Can you address the frontage on Robinsonville Road? What kind of improvements will be made there, reference the entrance?
We met with DelDOT, and if we have an entrance as shown here, there will be a deceleration lane, a left turn lane, bike paths, bike lanes in each direction tying in the shoulders. We're going to have to construct and provide a shoulder beyond our entrance throughout the rest of the frontage on both sides of the road. The existing road only has grass shoulders today, so we will have to upgrade all that to meet DelDOT's current standard. We have made an accommodation if we are able to reach some kind of agreement with folks at Tidewater Landing. This road right-of-way does extend to where their road right-of-way comes, and if they're willing to allow an interconnection, we'll construct it. And if it were allowed in such a way that we didn't even have to build an entrance on Robinsonville Road, we would agree to that. However, I don't think the commission or us has the authority to require the neighboring developer to allow us to use their entrance.
Did we already do that? Was that, I can't remember if this is one we approved with, because it looks like they've got a road going up to there.
Yeah, if you can go to tab C on your in your booklet, that actually has the Tidewater final site plan, and it does include it.
Tab Z, the very back
Z,
of
your book. Z.
The back of your book.
And
I can put it on the screen too. This is the recorded plat, and this is what they had originally intended, but they backed out this 21-acre piece here, which was a future phase two on their recorded plan. They did not purchase it.
But as you can see, the final site plan includes that stubbed out. So we've included a condition to pursue that. I know that's somewhat soft, but and to the extent DelDOT has indicated an interest in that, we certainly haven't abandoned that by any means.
Excuse me just a second, Mr. Willard. Mr. Robertson, if that is shown on the approved site plan, can they not be compelled to build it?
I think they can be compelled to build it, yeah.
So I don't think it's an issue. I think you can have your connectivity there if you so desire, because
I have to go back and just look at the prior approval just to see what the wording was. But if it was there and it's shown on the site plan.
It's on the plan. The fact that they didn't buy the adjacent property, I don't think obviates the fact that they clearly intended for them to be connected. And I think they can.
If they build that road to that property line, we would be happy to connect to it.
Well, it's on the site plan.
It's on the site plan. Yeah. I don't see. I mean, they might.
Well, they might make it phase Z in their project, which could be awkward. I don't know how you can.
Well, they're going to have to come in here to do that, because unless they called it phase Z when this thing went through, if they come back and
I don't know that they did
change the phase.
It looks like it's part of phase one.
They're going to have to ask us.
It's interesting. I visited the site recently, and it's graveled right to the border there. So quite frankly, that I think would be our preference. And if you granted preliminary, it wouldn't change this plan very much.
That would be my preference, especially since that curve on that road, I mean, I think to be able to pull the entrance further away from that curve would only add to the safety of the people on that road. Because the curve going around Robinsonville Road there would make it difficult for people to see cars coming if they're leaving. So the further you can get away from it, the better.
Mr. Fuller.
If the county is in a position to compel them to build it, to approve phase one, we'll
look into it.
You're going to have to get back to us,
that,
sure.
We'll right. Hold that thought for now. And
based on our meetings with DelDOT, they and you and we would
continue
be open to having an interconnection. In the event that it doesn't happen, we would, of course, have an entrance directly onto the right-of-way. But that does not require a significant modification to our plan because we aligned this road with their right-of-way intentionally.
Well, it could, and I know we're getting a little far afield here, but certainly one's street corner sense of justice would say that it certainly this developer would have to participate in some type of maintenance agreement or something doing that.
If they own the road from there till where we, there'd be a cross-access easement or something.
Yeah. So, but I know that's probably for another day or at least not today.
How we present it in our application is part of a condition. We'll pursue it. We'll open to it. If you have to make us do it, then we'll do it.
Okay.
Mr. Christianberry,
yes.
Can you tell the commission about how this will be serviced by sewer?
Yeah, the Tidewater project put a pump station in their project right around here. There's actually a force main leaving that pump station running out to Robinsonville Road and going to the further collection system of the county. And there's actually a gravity main coming in from Robinsonville Road 10 feet away from the force main. So a sewer manhole was actually installed on our property right here in an easement that's been granted to Sussex County. And that manhole, the as-built, came back from the county. Its invert is an elevation of 3, and our contours start at 15 and go uphill from there. So it's a 12-foot deep manhole, more than adequate to serve as a connection point. If you look in tab
K,
county engineering has indicated that they are ready and willing to serve the project. If you look in the prior tab J, we have Tidewater Utilities statement that we are in their service area. And they've just finished installing a main that literally runs along the entire frontage of the property. So there's actually going to be a fire hydrant installed on our frontage along with, I believe it's a 10-inch main. No, I'm sorry, 16-inch main. So it's going to be a lot more water than we need for this project alone.
Two other questions. You may have more to comment, but stormwater, any issues there? What kind of pond will that be?
This will be a wet pond. It'll be aerated with several fountains, both for aesthetic and for environmental purposes. The outfall will be to the stream that we are a part of. There is an easement shown on the record plat for Tidewater Landing that starts on our property and runs down to the wetlands line on Tidewater Landing. That would certainly be an ideal place for us to run a pipe, a couple manholes back to this pond. So that's our intention, is to discharge it there.
Are there any wetlands on the property?
Very, very little. Along here, all these wetland flags that we show are actually on the Tidewater Landing property. The same surveyor provided the topography for this preliminary plan. In the very northern tip of the land, there is an area of wetlands nowhere near anything where we have any construction proposed. The only construction that occurred near there was when the county ran their sewer in this spring. It's within maybe 50 feet or so of the wetlands, but we have no further construction proposed for that part of the property.
So do you have appropriate buffers for any wetlands that are on there?
Yeah, we actually don't have any lot lines within 50 feet of the wetlands that are even off our property.
Okay, anything else you want to add before I make you sit down?
We have had a landscape plan prepared with a planting list that is in tab HH. GG is the preliminary plan, HH is the landscape plan. As you can see, the project's perimeter will have your 20-foot buffer that's required for there. So be some planters in the open space areas. We've managed to have a small amount of common area behind all these lots so that there is some common areas that could be planted behind essentially every lot in the development. We'll back up to some kind of common area or open space. This area in here, we will be having that area cleared as part of the remediation, but the area will be surrounded by a minimum of a 20-foot buffer between that partial A remediation area and any adjoining lots or road right-of-ways.
So the tree elimination will be minimal? The landscape plan you showed, there are going to be some lots where you'll have to do some tree removal.
Yes, there's a few lots along here where these trees would be removed.
So from the roadway, what kind of buffer is that? It's more than 20 feet, isn't it? From
Well, the roadway, you have a 20-foot buffer for these lots on this cul-de-sac here. But you also, before you even have that, you have a 15-foot permanent easement that goes to DelDOT for the 10-foot shared use path. So from the right-of-way line, DelDOT steals 5 foot of property. We give them another 15 feet for a shared use path. Then there's a 20-foot forest buffer. So from the existing right-of-way where it is today, we're 40 feet away before you get to any lot. And of course, on this side, we have a private road that runs parallel to Robinsonville Road. So any lot lines would actually be the additional width of the entire width of the road right-of-way.
If just I'm anticipating the commission may be interested in what that corner in 42 and 1 would look like if that entrance were in fact closed and we did connect with Tidewater.
We'd probably just do an intersection not too different from this, a turnaround that meets the fire marshal's requirements.
Very good. Anything else, Ken?
Any questions they have, I'll be happy to entertain when they get to that point when you're all done, Mr. Willard.
Thank you.
Sure.
Can I ask a quick question before we get too much further?
Yes.
That one that you have there is numbered.
Looks
different.
Like I forgot to get you the new one, Jim.
Yes.
Yeah, we had an update where we showed more trees clearing on your copy. So I think I forgot to update that in the slideshow. If you look at your hard copy, it does show more clearing because we realized that we had to show.
Well, I'm looking at and I guess my question is, what's the right preliminary subdivision plan? Because the compared to that color drawing, the preliminary.
Are you looking at the one in the TAC comments?
I'm looking at the one in your book.
Which tab is it?
GG, which you said was the.
GG.
Oh, does it?
Well, yeah, because the colored one shows, like to the right of the entrance, 42, 41, 40, 39, 38 all around. But the one in GG shows that being like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then there's different numbered lots up above that.
Yeah, the lot numbering is incorrect on the landscape plan, but the configuration is identical. I'm not sure why the landscape architect renumbered them when they prepared this for us. I apologize for that. But if you look at the lot configuration, they're identical.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The numbering is all correct. The numbering on the paper copy of the landscape plan is incorrect.
And the submitted plan in your book removes the trees that will be needed to be removed. It removes some of them. That was the first one. So
the differences from this and the one in the landscape, the book plan is right.
The one that's correct? In the book is correct. When I got those exhibits to Jamie last week, I forgot to update the slideshow of this particular slide.
Okay.
So it does show more clearing because obviously the lots are too small for these lots to have a lot of existing trees retained when the lots are platted.
On this page, this sheet here, lots 2 and 3 are 7,400 and some square feet.
Is that the...
Not quite. That's on this here. But
is that the TAC?
And this, it's changed.
Tab GG is our preliminary site plan that you're reviewing.
Yeah,
go back to the TAC comments in tab LL. There's another copy of the preliminary plan that was the subject of the TAC comments, and some of the comments included the fact that several of the lots were below 7,500 square feet. So the plan you're asked to review has 7,500 square foot lots on the entire plan.
So GG is the one.
GG is the plan.
Is the right one.
You're reviewing.
So when we're looking at the trees being up, they're really not going to be there. They're going to be lots. Okay.
And the one in the TAC comments was the first generation, and then Mr. Wade.
We gave you that just to see how the TAC process did work in creating some revisions. So the tab LL has all the TAC comments and the plan that was reviewed as that generated those comments. Tab GG is the plan that you're being asked to consider.
Gotcha.
For approval.
Gotcha.
Sorry if it's.
No, I just want to make sure because I looked at it and the number was different, so I just want to know.
Yeah, that, you're looking at. I'm not quite sure why she wasn't at all, but I'll. That is a little counterintuitive.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to make
good
sure
question.
We're all looking at all the right stuff.
So, okay. Thanks, Ken.
Absolutely.
The like I said before, you have the other 99C conditions that are required in here. This would be Cape Pendleton School District. We think it's integrated appropriately with the other community there and in the surrounding area, preserving as much open space and trees as we can. It fits with the density requirement for a cluster. I've included conditions, which are pretty typical of any other subdivision like this, so I'm not going to go through them all. What's not typical is I have a condition in there dealing with the COCR remediation, because that, I think, should be a condition of the final site plan, and that's obvious. So I put that in as a condition. I've also included it in our HOA documents, as it's going to be part of the HOA documents to the extent it needs long-term care. Either the HOA is going to take care of it, or it's going to be funded, and that'll be a part of what Denrev requires. I also put a condition in there dealing with the entrance, anticipating you'd want it in there. If you can compel it, great. Otherwise, we're certainly open to pursue that. Finally, I have findings that are part of the book, so they're already submitted. They're the findings of fact that you usually see for a subdivision like this. In fact, there's one in the record for this property, but not exactly the same thing, because you know a little bit of the history of it. So we really think this might benefit that parcel of Robinsonville Road. Otherwise, it's kind of a hole there. You have the DEC power plant. And quite frankly, in talking to Duffield and reviewing this whole project, if it wasn't developed, I'm not sure the remediation would occur. It might just be kind of in limbo, and this is a good way to take care of it. So let me call Mr. Daniels up here.
Oh, yeah, Michael Daniels. I'm the contract purchaser for the property.
Can you give the address? Your address?
33285 Kent Avenue, Bethany Beach, Delaware.
You've heard my representations, as well as Mr. Christianberry, to the council. You're familiar with the book we've submitted. Is this representations to the commission as far as the application for this development true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
It is, yep.
And the commission may have questions or otherwise.
Okay, thank you. If that concludes your presentation, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Hoey Stevenson.
All right, I appreciate you doing the CRC. Okay, as I was reading through, I got confused because there were letters from 2012 saying, okay, everything's great, and then 2018 said, oh no, you got to do this. And so, okay. So, what is it you have to do on that property? And then will it be open? It'll be left as open space from then on. And is it actually open space that people could use, or is this a space that you just shouldn't go near?
Well, I'm going to give you the first bite at this, and then we can call Mr. Brian on this. What happens, because back in 1970s, when they used things that maybe they don't anymore.
I mean, yeah, I understand that. They're different. Yeah, go ahead. That's
right.
Yeah.
What they need to do is prevent leaching, so they cap that area. In other words, they put some heavy-duty stuff on top of that 1.25 acres, and so no stormwater goes through it. Okay, and to the extent there's anything around it that Denrec and Duffield will be managing the project as well, need to add to that 1.25 acres, they put it in that area. And then they put a very significant barrier on top of it, and so stormwater won't go through it, it won't leach, it can't go to groundwater or anything like that. On top of that surface, it's my understanding, they can have a certain amount of topsoil or have wildflowers or things like that people can use, be on top of it or anything like that. They're just concerned about the leaching of any stormwater. They seal it, cap it, so water can't go through it.
Okay.
And Brian, you want to come up here and add to that if you want? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Let me ask you this. What's the timetable for this project if that's done?
The remediation would likely take place.
Excuse me, sir, you're going to need to introduce yourself through the tape, please.
Brian Lynch with Duffield Associates.
Thank you.
Maybe before we start, tell the commission a little bit about your background, how long you've worked in Duffield, or what do you do?
Sure. I'm an environmental engineer. I've been associated with this property since the early 90s. when the initial remediation was done. I was there at that time.
And what's the plan to make it safe so we can do this development?
The current plan that's been approved and accepted by Denrec is to take a few hundred yards of contaminated soils that are in the area where some of the residential lots are currently shown, and that contaminated soil will be added to the open space area that we had discussed. Clean fill will replace the soils that were removed, and at that point, it's approved for residential use by Denrec.
Is there a requirement by Denrec that you tell the people who move into those lots that that was what happened there?
Well, even if there's not, we are. I don't know the answer. I'll let you answer that question, but that's why we put it in the HOA.
Okay.
And that's why we've provided in the HOA a permanency for any maintenance, which is not low maintenance, and there's going to be money put aside in an account to take care of it. So I don't know if there's a requirement.
I don't know if there is or not.
Okay.
One of the conditions we did proffer in the recommended conditions of approval is that the HOA would be under no obligation to purchase the 1.25 acres, but if they ever chose to purchase it, it would be for $1. So the escrow that's been set aside for the environmental cleanup will be used by the seller or by Mr. Daniels to take care of any further work or obligation, and the HOA won't own it unless there's a point where they feel convinced that Denrec is telling them the property's worth at least $1. If they choose not to, then it would remain the seller's land.
Okay.
Can I interrupt with a question, Mr. Chairman and Ms.
Sure.
Stevenson?
Yeah.
On the acreage, though, this is where I was getting confused, because I know you've talked about the 1.25 acres, and that's what the June 6th letter talks about. But if you go back to the 2011, I guess, certificate of completion of remedy, in 2012, it talks about OU1 being a 0.28 acre restricted area, and OU2 requires further investigation, which is 6.72 acres. And it talks about parcel A, I think somewhere else, and parcel B. And it looks like, you know, that covers essentially 7 acres. 1.25 acres we kind of have talked about, but it sounds like there's still the balance that needs to be dealt with. I'm just having trouble figuring out where that property is and just the acreage that's identified.
Mr. Robinson, the one of the last tabs in your book, I believe, right. It's Y, is the plat that was recorded about 2 years ago, I believe.
Right.
OU1 is this quarter acre area right here.
Right.
OU2 is a total, an additional 6 acres that was identified years ago as requiring further investigation.
Right.
When you go to tab O, that's a letter from Denrec that was issued a month ago.
Right.
That says 0.25 acres, if it's covered by 1.25 acre cap, will be remediated and all the other areas are acceptable based on the remediation plan that's just been approved by Denrec. It has been approved but not constructed yet. The anticipation is that it will be constructed before the end of this calendar year and accepted by Denrec, and the COCR would be issued by Denrec before the end of this calendar year.
Where is that acreage on the site?
Where this acreage, the OU1 is in the parcel A that the HOA is not being required to buy. It's gonna be retained in ownership by the seller. So that's OU1 there, but is that the TAC version? Hold on.
Not the same version.
Yeah. That's the TAC version. The updated version right here. Parcel A is actually larger than the 0.25. And the 0.28 acres is the restricted area. Parcel A is the area to be capped and, again, would not be transferred to the HOA unless they elected to purchase it.
And if I can, because I've learned about this too, and Brian, you can weigh in. The OU1 area was the original area that was being observed where really the lumber business was. And in the course of their investigation, you know, they sniffed around a little further out and wanted to find some other things that were some issues, but not nearly as intense, I guess. But so they decided that the OU1 was the original area they looked at, and then they created a larger scope just to investigate, and they decided that the appropriate area to cap would be 1.25 acres. So that's why they decided that amount. But the OU is what DENREC identifies as the area of observance. So that's why originally the second look at it was a much larger scope.
But can you zoom out a little bit more on that? Because I'm just trying to make sure I understand. So again, going back to the 1.2.
Let me show you on the next page.
No, just keep it there. Just keep it there.
I have it a little bit labeled here.
Just leave it where it is. The 1.25 acres, from what you said, that takes the soil from the rest of what was the 7 acres, right? And if you remediate where those lots are going, move the soil to parcel A.
Put that soil in there, in the OU1, inside of parcel A.
Right. But the soil that's going into parcel A includes lots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, all those within that hashed line.
Some of it. No.
Brian, how much soil would be relocated?
I believe a little over 300 yards.
Okay.
It's a relatively small amount.
So it's a relatively small amount within that.
Correct.
Sort of marked.
Just a few
spots
within the 6-acre area.
Okay. And in the feasibility study, that's where it calls out those spots?
Correct.
Okay.
I guess I have a question because you had the certificate of completion back in 2012, and now you're having to do more things. Do you expect that to happen in another however many years, or are there annual reviews that they would have to do?
No, I wouldn't expect that would change. What had happened was when the remediation was done in the early 90s, there were DENREC standards in effect at that time, and the remediation was done per the standards at that time, and the COCR was issued on the OU1 area. Since then, the standards have become more stringent. So that was an opener for DENREC to look at the balance of the property, and all of a sudden there were tighter standards. So some of the adjoining areas that weren't considered at that time are considered now.
Okay, thank you.
So we got all mixed up on numbers. What lots are affected by contaminated soil? Because I'm looking at some like the, now I'm all confused which numbers to look at. Are we looking at numbers lots 4, 5, and 6 or lots 39, 37, 38, and 39? What, I mean, are those?
Well, the question is none of them will be when the COCR is complete. The 7 acres just extends down towards Robinsonville Road.
The OU1 inside of parcel A.
But that wasn't the question. The question was where's the soils now?
Where's the soil now?
Yeah.
Brian, can you?
I don't have an overlay. There were a couple of spots. One of the spots, I would guess, would be around the lot 14, lot 15 area. There was another spot, probably where the open space is below that. In the center of 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. A small spot around that area. Then there were a couple of spots adjacent to the current OU1 area.
So how did the contaminants get there in the first place? And what
is the contaminant?
Okay, hold on just a second, everyone. If you don't mind, I just want to restore a little bit of order here to what we're doing. Miss Stevenson has the floor. When she gets the balance of her questions done, we're going to move to Mr. Hudson. We're going to move to Mr. Hopkins, and then we're going to move to Miss Wingate. So
I probably caused all that. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
but just trying
it's all
to clear
your
out
fault,
the
counselor.
Where
okay.
The land. So
was related.
Okay,
to
I'll
ahead.
Let them ask their questions when I get to them. So I'll just leave it for them for now. The other questions that I had, my one question then was, it'll be in the HOA, but people actually buying lots because we hear a lot of people come in and say nobody told us. Mm-hmm. So I need to know that when somebody buys a lot, they're told, by the way, remediation was done on your lot. This is a health, safety, and welfare issue for Sussex County.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily a scientist question.
Yes.
We can certainly include that as a condition.
Okay.
And it's appropriate, I think.
Okay. My next question is that a dock?
Yes.
on the stormwater management?
Well, it's a proposed dock, yeah. It might be a place where you can walk out and sit and dangle your feet in the water.
Okay.
That's what it, that was the idea, right, Ken?
If the conservation district.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm certainly for making things that are classified as open space actually open space that people can enjoy. So, yeah, that would, okay. Apparently, we have other questions from other people, so I will close my questions for now.
Thank you. Mr. Hudson.
What is the contaminant, or what was the contaminant?
The primary contaminant is hexavalent chromium, which is a metal that's an ingredient or was an ingredient with the liquid solution that was used in preserving the wood.
Okay. Is that kind of salt treated wood, pressure treated wood?
Yes, there were arsenic and, yep, and chromium were two primary components of that liquid solution.
When you talk about wood, I'm very familiar with that. But okay. And it was spread pretty wide.
Well, the chromium and the arsenic are mainly around the OU1 area because that's where the bulk of the treatment occurred. The hot spots, as they're called in the feasibility study, that are in the 6 acres, the contaminant is different. Those are PAHs, or polyaromatic hydrocarbons. And what we suspect they came from is there were other buildings on the property at that time, and there was a burning done, and those contaminants are typically associated with burning residue.
And do they go away over time?
They don't go away over time, but they are in the shallow part of the soil, in the top foot of the soil. That's why those soils will be taken from the 6-acre area, rather, and placed on top of the OU1 area. All the eggs in one basket, so to speak. All the contaminants will be consolidated in one area and covered.
Can you describe the cover?
Sure. It's not designed yet, but the concept is a geotextile, a heavy-duty plastic that'll prevent stormwater from infiltrating through the soils. One of the concerns is once stormwater infiltrates through the soil, take some of the contaminants with it into the groundwater. By putting a cover on the soils, that will be prevented, and the contaminants that are in the soil will remain in the soil and not go anywhere. Over the geotextile, there could be really any number of uses. Once it's there, it could be planted, vegetated. There could be other basketball court, tennis court, really anything that the owner wants, as long as it doesn't impact the geotextile.
There are trees on it now in OU1.
The trees would have to be removed as part of
that. But that's what's there now, trees that are, okay.
Yeah, they would be removed.
No questions, no more questions. Thank you.
Mr. Hopkins.
Did I hear somebody say there was 300 cubic yards estimated?
Correct. I believe that's the estimate of.
So 300 cubic yards, that's like 18 dump truck loads.
20 loads. Yeah.
That's not a lot.
It's not a lot of soil.
Why don't you just haul it to the landfill?
Cost. Cost is one reason.
Well, it costs more at the time we talked about it tonight. It costs a whole lot more than that.
One of the options that we came up with for, effectively dealing with those soils is to consolidate. I mean, hauling them away and landfilling may be an option. But that would have to be an out-of-state landfill, and the transportation really jacks up the cost.
So why do you have to haul it out of the state?
I don't know that there are any local landfills that would accept that material.
Well, if no local landfills will accept it, why would somebody want it in their backyard?
Other states take it. Other states accept it.
So we think it dispersed most, let me restate that. Do we think that it dispersed
over the other lots by way of rain?
No. No, there was extensive sampling done throughout the whole area, and we're very confident, as is DENREC, that anything there is to be detected was detected and is included in the remediation plan.
How many test wells were put in?
There were, just going off of memory, 10 plus minus monitoring wells scattered throughout the entire property, including the Tidewater Landing property.
So how deep were the wells?
The majority of them were shallow, and maybe two or three were deep.
What's shallow?
Within 30, 40 feet.
30, 40 feet deep?
Correct.
So if the well's 30 feet deep, and how do you know how deep the contamination is?
Sampling was done throughout the whole area. At different elevations.
I thought I heard somebody say that the contaminated soil is not. Did I hear somebody say the contaminated soil is a foot deep or something?
It is in the 6-acre area where the PAHs were, because it originated. We believe it originated from burning, so it's very shallow.
Well, then why did you need to put a 30-foot well in?
It was looking for something else at that time. The PAH investigation is part of the same overall investigation, but the wells were looking more at the chromium and the potential impact of hexavalent chromium to groundwater.
What did you find? How many shallow 30-foot deep wells were there?
I'm just guessing. 6, 7.
And how many deep wells?
A smaller number, 2 or 3.
And how deep are the deep wells?
They were several hundred feet, I believe.
Did you find the chromium in all of those 9 or 10 wells?
There were minimal levels, background levels detected in the well.
But you think it's all going to, you think that once you strip that 1 foot off the top, you're going to catch 100% of it?
Yes. And as part of the process, there's sampling, confirmatory sampling done to make sure that it's all captured.
What does it cost if you hauled it to New Jersey or wherever you have to haul it?
I don't have those numbers handy. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
For 18 dump truck loads?
Honestly, I don't know. I would have to go back and check the numbers. I don't know offhand.
So if you were to cap it back there in that OU1 area, tell me again how that's constructed.
How the cap would be constructed?
Well, I mean, in other words, you're gonna strip it from the surrounding area. I heard somebody, Ken or somebody, say lots, some, I don't know, 2, 3, it, yeah, that and wherever it is, you're gonna strip it. How much stripping can you do with just 18 dump truck loads? And then are you gonna put a liner down in the O1 area first and then place it on top of a liner and then put a liner on top of it? Is that how you would do that?
We haven't finished the design yet. I
basically make it like a landfill. That's a question.
The intent isn't to make it like a landfill. The intent is just to limit infiltration through the top.
Well, that's what they do at a landfill.
Well, there's a liner.
Oh, you wouldn't put a liner underneath of it?
No.
You would just put a liner on top of it?
Correct.
Because it's the rain that goes from the top down that pushes the chromium on down? So it would be like a little mound back there?
It would be a very shallow one. We're estimating that consolidating the soils will add 6-7 inches to the OU1 area.
So in order to have established a quantity of 300 cubic yards, you must have some circles or something.
Correct.
Somewhere, and then in a like a cross section.
There's
you know where those spots, where you think those spots are?
Yes. Yeah, they're identified in the feasibility study that DENREC approved.
No more questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hopkins. Ms. Wingate.
My question really was concerning why not remove it, but you've already answered that for me, so thank you. But I also would be curious, so if you're going to move that material onto the OU1 section, and I know you said earlier when I questioned about
timeliness of rechecking it, you know, to make sure there isn't any other intrusion. From your professional opinion, do you feel that by capping it so that, well, that's the procedure that you're calling it to cap it, is that going to create more, that there could be more runoff, or do you feel confident that by putting the liner on top of it, that it won't encroach on other areas with rain and those types of elements?
We're not expecting it would encroach on any other areas. The intent would be to take clean stormwater that would hit on top of the cap area and disperse it.
Thank you. That was the only question I had.
Thank you. Okay. Counselor?
Most of the questions have been answered. Going back to the landscape plan, though, that 1.25 acres, you've got that on the landscape, and this is more for Mr. Christianberry, it shows as vegetated, but I think, and you've talked about how much is going to be maintained in natural
right.
wooded areas, but what we've also heard is that you can't, I think, plant trees in that, or can you?
I don't think trees or deep-rooted plants would work in that area. So we do show the area, that's to be clear. It may be a little more than what's on there.
Okay. Okay.
Flowers and other shallow-rooted plants would certainly be a vegetated area, but deep-rooted plants or trees probably would not be permitted.
That's all I have, Mr. Whitehouse.
Okay. Ms. Cornwell?
None, thank you.
Okay. Mr. Whitehouse?
None, thank you.
All right, then. If you want to take a seat nearby, which you've already done, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 218-8 Streams Edge Estates? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Okay, then. No one wants to speak in opposition. Anyone on the commission have any questions? All right, then. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.
Thank you.
Our next public hearing.